Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and I'm going to turn you up just a little bit. Are you hearing me pretty good?
Oh, boy. My voice sounds like you today.
Yeah. All right. You got me in your ears, too?
I do. Okay. You're a little loud, as usual.
Well, I'll bring it down. I can bring it down. Anyway, folks, this electronic stuff just baffles the heck out of me. You have no idea. Well, maybe you do, but it's very difficult to pull this off. And I'm in an environment I've never been before, and I can't tell you how many buttons and things that are in front of me.
Yeah, it's really scary, folks. Kind of like the old computers were. When we come in Monday morning, he'd been working all weekend, and all of a sudden everything was crashed, and we couldn't.
I always had plan B. If it weren't for Bob Sampson, we would have
probably. Yeah, you had some good friends.
I had some really smart friends.
Yeah, that's right.
And I still do that every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Thank goodness it's not as often as it used to be.
Yeah. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960 if you have a car question or a car problem. But the other day, my computer had a real big problem. Mm-hmm. And every time you'd open up a program, it would populate it 10, 12, 15 times. Otherwise, it would open it up 10, 12. So I called the company, and he says, well, I'm just going to reload your software of this particular company where the problem seemed to be lying. So he did that, and then he sold me a policy for $189.
Yeah, you're a sucker for that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, I wanted to wait and to see if the reload would take care of it. Mm-hmm. But I also didn't want to wait because I needed it. So I said, yeah, fine, I'll take it. But this new software slowed down the computer by a jillion.
Really?
Yeah, just it could hardly be out of its way. I had 300-400 pictures I had to go through, and I was putting them in different folders.
Yeah.
So you click on the picture, and it was the count of five before it popped up. And then if you right-clicked it, said cut it, and put it over here, that was like 2 hours.
You're not a very patient person either.
No. But I'm used to the speed and power that we have. So I called him back, and I said, I want to delete the software, and I want to – because that's the only thing it is. And the guy from offshore says, well, it's probably your speed. And I said, well, I know how to check the speed, and I'm 100 down and 8 up. Mm. And he goes, why are you only 8 up? And I said, every computer I have known to man is 8 up. And you're between 10 and 100 down. And that's kind of where I picked. So anyway, I told him today I would like a credit. I'm going to delete the software. And he goes, well, we need to make sure you're going to delete the software. And I said, well, come on over to the house, and you can check it yourself. And it's quite a boat ride, I would imagine, for him. Nevertheless, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. One of the things we're looking for is a new technician.
Yep.
We had one of our really good techs decide to change careers, and we're happy for him. We're happy. He's a family man. This is going to be a different thing for him, but he has tremendous technical ability. So we're looking to fill that in, and maybe two. Mm-hmm. So if you know anybody who is a technician, preferably has some ASC certifications from 1 to 8. And if they're looking for a job that has Monday through Friday, and we have healthcare, do we have dental?
Yes.
Healthcare, we have dental,
vision.
We have a 401k plan. And folks, this is what I tell the new technicians. If you're smart enough, if you're not smart enough to take 50% on your money, you're not smart enough to work here. Mm-hmm. It's really, that rives home is the point. So if you know anybody, we have really good staff, and it's, you know, the prospective client could walk through the shop by themselves and talk to all the technicians. We don't care.
Yep.
And but the real fish and bait here is Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
And so we're closed on Saturday and Sunday, and that gives our guys Saturday to do everything the wives want them to do, Sunday to watch football and unwind, and then they're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on Monday morning, with the exception of a few.
Yes.
And
that choose to work on people's cars on the weekend.
Well, and they do that, and then they go. And some of our bachelors are not necessarily in church on Sunday morning.
Right.
And they're usually at home suffering from the night before. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things. We've been in business 39 years. We've walked through this path before.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you know anybody, then mark@marksalem.com, mark@marksalem.com. I don't tell you my name on my shop very often, but that's kind of easy to do. mark@salemboysauto.com. The emails are the same.
Yeah, or Andy, A-N-D-I, at Salem,
Boys Auto. So you can send emails to either that, and Andy and I or talk to you, and we'll discuss, you know, what the plan is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Kurt's Auto Repair is the first one I want to talk about. Our Under the Hood radio program is really centered around the best car repair shops list that I own. I've created and populated since 1988. Here's the story. The story is this. Back in 1988, I called the station and I said, I think you can do better than the car guy you had on. And she said, okay, Mr. Smarty Pants, if you think you can do better, be here next Thursday. Those 5, 6, 7 days, I was a wreck because I had probably taken on more than I could handle. But I went in. Mm-hmm. And then after six or eight months, they said, well, we're going to put you on Saturday. And then I had some wonderful people to guide me. Michael Dixon, Lisa Millay, Jack Blair. Mm-hmm. These are all old radio talk show hosts that taught me what I know. And so then there was a while where Jim Tazrak, who's deceased, he moved me. He says, you're on your own, kid. Mm-hmm. And that was scary.
Yeah.
But through the beginning of it, my mother called me and she said, have you got a minute? And I said, sure. And she says, you sound like crap. And I said, well, thank you. I have a lot of experience sounding like crap. She says, you have to stop thumping your chest. She says, don't you have any friends in the business? And I said, yeah, I do. She says, talk about them. And she says, don't talk about you. Talk about them. Don't talk about your shop. Now stop thumping your chest. And my mom was an executive for some very large companies. And she had that kind of skill. So I did that. Mm-hmm. And I go out of my way not to talk about my shop. I'm here for you. That's the whole idea. So anyway, that's how the best car repair shops got started, because we had these guys all over the valley and I began to refer to them. Folks, I don't make a dime on the referral. I never have, never will. And the pleasure I get is usually they follow up and say, I went to so-and-so and I really had a good experience. I went to so-and-so and he told me the truth and all that other kind of stuff. So the guys that we have at marksalem.com, when you click on best car repair shops, they're the best I can find. Now here's the deal. The deal is this. If they have a complaint, this happened not too long ago. Mm-hmm. We had a shop that had a complaint. The customer has to file, pay attention to this word, nice complaint. There's no foul language. There's no beating up his wife or anything like that. You file a nice complaint with the Better Business Bureau. The Better Business Bureau then investigates the complaint and they come up with a determination. If they come up with a determination, the shop has to fix the car or pay something. The shop has to do that. Mm-hmm. If they don't do that, two things happen. I fix the car or pay the fine, whatever, and I kick the shop off.
Yeah.
And so we've kicked two shops off, not necessarily for those kinds of things, but we recently had a shop that it took us a while to get him to see the big picture.
Right.
And then he asked for a deadline, and we gave it to him, and he hit the deadline, and everything was fine.
Yeah.
So we're proud that I had my pocketbook open on that one.
Yeah.
It was looking like I was going to pay that one. Mm-hmm. And that's okay with me. I was going to pay it. But he was going to be gone too. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, we accomplished our goals.
Right. And you have to check back every once in a while, because we have had in the last year, I think we've had 4 shops that have actually sold their businesses, and the new owner can't just step into their position on the best car repair shops. They have to be in business 5 years. So we know what they are like and how they run their business and that type of thing. So.
And there's many of you that have done businesses with these.
Yes.
I'll give you a good example. Kelly Clark, mm-hmm. up on 40th and Bell, had been on our list since Jesus was a baby. Mm-hmm. And he sold his shop to a company.
Right.
We don't approve of that kind of focus on our car repair. So we're not picking them up, and we've decided not to. And to be honest with you, we decided the day we found out Kelly sold.
Right. He's got 2 shops, and he kept the one.
At 12th and Glendale.
Right.
And 12th and Glendale is still on our list. Yes. But 40th and Bell is no longer on our list. But those are the kinds of things that we do behind the scenes. I'm very proud of that group of people, because I get lots of attaboys, mm-hmm. and of which I pass on to the shop. I get a lot of people that call me back and say, I really had a good experience, or they fixed my car, or this or that. We have far more good, 100 to 1, 1,000 to 1,
oh, yeah,
to people that complain. Now, a guy complained not too long ago about some brake issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sent him back to the shop, talked to the owner of the shop, and he writes me back and says, I'm good.
Yeah.
And so together we'll work that out.
Yeah.
So Kurt's Auto Repair is on that list, and he's been around since 1987. He's at Bell, and I-17, the northeast corner. He's a master tech. Jeff is a master tech. Eric is a master tech. And you can't really go wrong, because you got two young bucks and then you got a gray-haired guy, and between the three of them, they can figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
The young bucks may not do really good on the older cars, but Kurt does.
Yeah.
So if you live in that area, the I-17 and Bell, and you don't know or don't have a shop, then call them up, send an appointment with them for an oil change, and just see how you like them and how they treat you. They do gas and diesel, I-17 and Bell Road. And we have a caller.
That would be Lorraine.
Lorraine, good morning.
I was listening, and it's funny because what you're talking about is exactly what I'm calling about.
Oh.
I took my car to the Air Park Auto.
Yes.
And then the second time now that I've taken it, they have new owners.
Yes.
Yes.
And so Nadine's not there anymore.
That's right.
And Kevin's not there anymore.
Yep.
So I live in Fountain Hills, and I was wondering if you could tell me now, who would you recommend?
I would recommend Blackwell at 40th Street in Glendale. You can go south on the 101 or the 51.
Nothing, yeah. Nothing closer?
You're at Fountain Hills, so that's I would love to have a shop in Fountain Hills, but the turnover is so great, nobody can pull 5 years of experience.
Nothing in Scottsdale?
Not in the northern Mesa area. Nadine, she held that area good.
Yeah, Mesa is Thompson's.
Thompson's,
that's,
yeah,
probably just as far as Blackwell, so either, yeah, one of those.
You know, I'm going to tell you, Mark Coleman's up there.
Combs?
Combs, yeah.
Yeah.
Combs Auto Repair is like on Pinnacle Peak Road in Scottsdale. I've known Mark Combs for 100 years. He's not on my list, but I do refer to him.
Okay.
And
how do you, is it like a comb?
Yes.
C-O-M-B-S.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. Combs Auto Repair. And he's just south of where Rawhide used to be on Scottsdale,
okay,
Road.
Yeah.
And
1 minute.
That might be somebody that you go to, and you're more than welcome to say, I met Mark Salem in jail and he said you were a good job, or whatever. You can make up whatever story you want.
You visited Mark in jail. How,
yeah,
about that?
Where are you located?
We're at I-17 and, no, we're not. We're at I-10 and Warner Road in South Tempe. We're way south.
Okay.
So, and I want to tell you something too. And because you mentioned the name, Air Park Auto was owned by Stacy and Nadine. They were building their shop 39 years ago when Renee and I were building our shop. And we were all really young. And Stacy and I and Nadine and Renee have signed paperwork for money that we didn't have a prayer in hell of ever paying back. So Stacy and Nadine and Mark and Renee, we grew up together in business. So I go way back with Nadine and Stacy. Stacy passed away. I think he died of leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
And Nadine said, I want to stay. And I was really proud of her, and I often said to my wife, Renee, who sits next to me, I said, I want you to be that way if I predecease you. And she says, you will predecease me. And I said, well, how am I going to die? And she says, a bullet wound to the head. And so Nadine had an opportunity to sell Lock, Stock, and Barrel, and she consulted with a variety of good business people in the Valley about what should I do and what should I ask for and all that kind of stuff. I did an examination on a variety of companies, and I wasn't comfortable with the variety of companies, and so I couldn't make the transition to a lot of places. I hope I'm speaking in tongue for everybody.
Yeah, okay.
But nevertheless, we don't have Air Park on our list anymore, and I don't typically recommend them, but there's a lot of shops on my list that I don't recommend.
There's a lot of
shops out there that I don't recommend that aren't on our list. But I can tell you one thing, just like I told a lady the other day. Your shop is one I haven't heard from about, and that's a good thing, because, boy, I'm a lightning rod for the bad guys. So I said to this lady, that shop I would continue to use them because I've never heard of them. Mm-hmm. I've never heard good things, but more importantly, I've never heard bad. So anyway, Lorraine, thank you very much. Good luck to you. Blackwell or Mark Combs, C-O-M-B-S. And we'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back, everybody. 23 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Mark and Renee Salem here at your service. If you'd like a car question, a car answer, if you want to take issue with this, or if you're mad at me because last week I said, in with my tongue in my cheek, that the people that drive hybrids normally have hair on their legs and hair on their underarms.
You got a few whacks for that from me.
Yeah, but you know something? People thought that was funny. I said most of the women driving hybrids don't shave their legs. And you're right. You're right. I was lucky. But I can't tell you how many emails started out with, I can't believe you said that.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
was funny.
Nobody okay. can.
But it's okay. It's okay. I don't mean harm by it.
I guess if they've listened to you long enough, they can believe anything you say. Or, yeah. you know, they
they
expect
know.
Anything out of your mouth.
Well, there's no filter between
That's
my
right.
ears and my mouth.
That's
Everybody
right.
knows that. Anyway. One of the shops on my shop, best shop list, Automatic Transmission Exchange, is the only transmission shop in the entire valley that's on my list. He handles virtually the entire valley on behalf of me and him. Automatic Transmission Exchange is on 40th Street in Washington. He's been around since 1968. And it's not that he's the only best transmission shop in town. We've had a lot of transmission shops. One we removed, and we've had a couple that have retired, they've closed, or they've sold. And sometimes they have a second generation take over, and the second generation doesn't feel that this is good for them, or right. maybe the pressure's too tough. But nevertheless, if you have a transmission problem, Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th Street in Washington, Phil's been around a very long time. He's a gray-haired guy, and he knows what he's doing. So that would be a great place to go to. Dan, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yeah, Mark, I want to give you a kudo.
Okay.
Well, you recommended a garage door company a long time ago, and I used them this week. It was excellent.
Cookson.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Cookson goes back into our early days of radio from the 90s. And I want to tell you something. I practice what I preach because Cookson put our door on our barn for us. Mm-hmm. They came up to Payson and put the door on. We paid for all of that. We didn't trade it out. We didn't do anything like that. But thank you for that. Thank you for that. Cookson is in Tempe. We're very familiar with their business. But we do really believe that they have the widest selection of, I'm doing a commercial for them, widest selections of really nifty a garage door. So thank you for that. Thank
All
you.
I needed was a lift, and they took care of me real quick.
Well, good, good. I actually called them for a motor one time because I couldn't figure out why it didn't work, but the belt underneath the cover had broken, and it didn't take him long to fix it. And he asked me if I was the car guy, and I said, no, I was his brother. So
yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Dan. Thank you very
okay,
much for
have
that.
A great day.
And to you, too. And to you, too. I get lots of emails about car problems. And one of them the other day was I had an engine put in my car, and then now I've got this bad leak at the back of the motor. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the rear main seal. And I'm wondering what I should do about it. And we discussed it. And it was kind of a, why didn't they replace the rear main seal when they swapped my engine? And it was a used engine, by the way.
Okay.
That's a very difficult area to travel. And here's why. If I call you, I sell you a used engine. So I'm going to give you the used engine price, the labor in and out, shop supplies, environmental charges, and sales tax, and the miscellaneous oil and the filter and coolant and all that stuff. What are you going to say when I call you and say, well, you know, I'm putting this engine in and it's really kind of easy. It's half the labor time to do the rear main seal, the front seal, the two valve covers, reseal the intake manifold, you know, make sure the exhaust manifolds are flat, and all of that's going to be another $900.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really tough thing. And we can't look into the future. You certainly can't look into the future. And so in this particular circumstances, he was never offered that. And he was a little bit agitated about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I said the same thing to him as I'm telling everybody now. We just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, ask yourself, and you know, we put in a lot of engines, and everyone and we rarely do used ones.
Right.
But sometimes we have. And every once in a while we get bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it depends. If this is a first-time customer, we may not extend total credit to them. But if it's a customer that has 16 pages of repair orders in our computer, we're probably going to give him or her the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. So there may be something where we go in at a cost on the labor, or we go in to half the labor, or you pay a third of the labor, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we're going to kind of share the responsibility with you. But it's not like we're going to take the whole burden,
right.
Especially if you found the motor and I'm not going to do anything if you brought me the motor.
Oh, yeah. And so, we don't usually do that, especially on a motor, because
yeah.
Then whose fault was it? Was it ours the way we put it in, or was it the bad engine that you brought us? And so that gets into – we know we've done that before, and we know that that's not a good thing. Never turns out good.
Never. I'm not going to say never, but here's the problem with that. If we put the engine in and we have a problem, the only way we can point the finger at somebody else is to diagnose it for free and probably fix it for free.
Right.
Then everybody knows whose fault it is. So if we go in there and we find out we left a ground wire off the engine, that's mine.
Right.
But if we go in there and find one of the injectors that I never touched is bad, that's yours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's your motor too. Now, if it would have been my motor and I sold it, then I have markup in order to pay for those kinds of hiccups.
But, yeah, the warranty.
1 minute.
Yeah, so that's kind of how it works. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. One more time, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or car problem, you're more than welcome to call in. We can talk about oil intelligently. We can talk about batteries and tires. And frankly, in the tire portion with respect to wear and stuff like that, I'm actually an expert in that, in oil. I'm an expert in oil. I'm an expert in cooking.
You're not thumping your chest, are you?
No. And you know I can't cook.
Yeah, I know you can't cook. You can't even boil water.
I can boil water.
Oh,
I put it
barely.
In the microwave and wait till it
barely.
Starts boiling.
Yeah.
That's all. So anyway, 602-508-0960. My name is Mark Salem. I'm an ASE Master Certified Technician. I've been a Master Certified Technician for almost 30 years. And each 5 years, you have to recertify. So it ain't easy. We'll be back right after this.
All about that theme and all the mobile.
What's really nice about my world, my name's Mark Salem, and Renee's sitting here next to me, is I know the very best shops in town, and Larry Harker's Auto is one of those. He's been around since 67. Bob and Ellen run Larry Harker's Auto. Bob is one of the finest diagnosticians I've ever met in my life. He has the tenacity of a bulldog, and he's just not going to let your car go until he's fixed it. So if you're in the area of 38th Avenue and Indian School, I would hope that you would give Larry Harker's Auto Repair a try. For those of you that have a car that nobody else can fix near that quadrant, 38th Avenue and Indian School, I'm proud to recommend Larry Harker's Auto. Vicki, good morning to you.
Good morning. How the heck are you?
You know, I'm better than the average bear.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. A friend of mine at work asked me a question last week. He's got a Beamer that's maybe 4 or 5 years old, and evidently the shop he takes it to told him that some rodents are eating his wiring or something, and he asked me if I'd seen any rodents in the parking garage at work, which I haven't, but I don't think they're going to come out while I'm watching. And if there's anything he can do about it besides maybe put mouse traps all over the place.
You know, you remember, Renee, that every time I got in the Bobcat there for a couple of months,
yeah.
That nothing worked. It would mm-hmm. start and run, but the bucket wouldn't go up or down or anything. And each time I took off the engine cover, I had wiring that was burn up. So I'm going to give credit where credit's due. And it is a big problem. And your insurance actually covers that, but I wouldn't use the insurance for a repair that was less than $100. I mean, if they're going to replace wire harnesses, your insurance, if you have full coverage, is going to cover that because it's damaged by someone else. It's clearly the rodents. You bought me a big container of red hot chili powder.
Mm-hmm.
And we sprinkled that all over the engine compartment. And we've never had another rodent. No, we tried trapping them, and that didn't work real well.
Yeah. I think we tried mouse or mothballs or
we
something
did.
Like that. I mean, they don't really like the smell, but the chili powder seemed to work the best.
Oh, boy, that worked. And the first time we fired up the engine because of the fan, you know, my nose ran for a little while, but that was it. But we've never had a problem since then. So The first time, I'm not quite sure I'd get real excited, but if it happens again, then I probably go to the areas where wiring is exposed, specifically the area he's had the problem. And I would just really just like salt, just sprinkle that red chili pepper.
And that's in the valley, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, usually we see it up north, you know, where the animals are kind of hibernating, where it's warm or whatever, but they're not hibernating, but, you know, going where
they'd
it's
rather
warm.
Sleep in the motor compartment of my tractor.
You don't see it a lot in Phoenix.
Yeah.
So.
Well, good luck to you, Vicki. That's a great question. It's not one I've gotten in a long time. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I know he will.
Okay. All righty. Ken, you're up next. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. Good morning. And the chili pepper's better than the mothballs because, yeah, they don't like the smell, but neither do we.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess until you start it up and the fan blows it around. But I'm calling to ask you about maintenance on high mileage vehicles. I've got an 03 Toyota Tacoma with 220,000 miles on it and an 06 Acura with 150, and they even have 160 on it. And, you know, I do the oil filter on and the filter on the engine all the time. And I do the tranny fluid every couple of years. And I put 10,000 on it a year probably. And the differentials, I did them when and the transfer case when it turned over 100. And I think then again at 190. But is there anything else I should be doing on this thing as far as preventive?
No, I'll tell you what I do. When I hit 100, I just start the maintenance schedule over in my owner's manual. So I do the same thing every year. There's nothing you've said that winds up my underwear right now. You've done a good job. I will tell you that you're in the tall end of mileage, and I would be careful about doing too much work to it. So when the transmission ultimately fails or the air conditioning system needs to be replaced, you're going to need some money for that. If you're doing 10,000 miles a year, I hope you're using – you know, a semi-synthetic, a blended oil, and just changing it before summer and before winter. That's certainly something that falls in your range. But, you know, you want to address issues that arise. But by the same token, I want you to throttle back 10% on some of the costs associated with those vehicles, because I'm not going to take a horse that's 40 years old and figure that he's going to win the Triple Crown. And you shouldn't plan on these cars lasting forever. The 200,000+ mile car, you know, most of the car engines we do on the long life stuff is 300,000 and north of that. But just be careful. And the transmissions, if you haven't had major transmission work and if you haven't had major air conditioning work, you are the luckiest guy in the whole wide world, because we see the tranny every 2 years and we see air conditioning every 100,000 miles. And 2 years is the transmission is going to last 70, 80 to 120, 130,000. But the air conditioning systems, we do those, you know, virtually every 70 or 80,000 miles. So anyway, thank you. Great question.
I've been lucky on those yet. Yeah. Thank you.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to ask you, the transmission, when it gets, you know, is on both of those vehicles, what's the, and you did mention the transmission shop earlier in the broadcast.
Yeah. And actually, you know, he's a good guy, which is Automatic Transmission Exchange. But when it comes to fluid and filters, or just dropping the pan and doing 3 quarts in the filter or flushing the whole thing out, that's something most good shops can do. But if you want to go and say to them, I want you to give it a good look over and tell me if you can tell me if anything's terribly wrong. If we pull the pan and there's a bunch of brass in it or a broken snap ring, you're at the end of the line, buddy. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. Do we have John back by chance, Gil?
We do not.
Okay. All right. Well, the lines are wide open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Lines are wide open. Now's the time to get in. Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and we're going to go straight to the phone callers, and we're going to do our brought to you by after we're done. Richard, you're up first. How can I help you?
Yeah, Mark, I'm 80 years old and been around a long time, and I have, as far as the mice goes, I have been using dryer sheets, preferably Bounce, because they seem to last longer and have the more pleasant odor than any off-brand one. I back up to the desert, So around September, I will drop a lot of bounce sheets throughout my garage floor.
Okay.
And I have shelving in the garage. I would load it up, and it's not an offensive odor, and it'll keep the mice out.
Okay.
I started doing that. I had a house in the mountains of Colorado, and I had a motorhome that I parked there year round, and I learned that that's where to use it, and it worked effectively there.
Well, that's perfect.
It worked out great.
And you know, there's nothing that I can criticize, or would I ever, when I've got a gray-haired guy talking about dryer sheets, and my wife is shaking her head that bounce is the one I think that maybe we use as well. But no, thank you. Thank you for that. I didn't know that, but bounce, dryer sheets, you drop them all around the car, or do you put them underneath the hood, or you just kind of circle the car with 10 of them?
Well, mainly the garage.
Okay.
Because my first year here, which was 5 years ago, the mice would come in here and they thought it was Motel 6 or something.
Okay.
And then I realized, wait a minute, I can use the dryer sheets, and which I've done. And then I also did in the motorhome that I had in the mountains of Colorado. And then I would put them in the engine compartment in the motorhome.
Okay.
And the main thing is, it'd be nice if I could get be able to put them up underneath in the wiring harnesses. But I can't okay. get up in there because, yeah, and that front, behind that front bumper is where I'll, you know, like for the lights and the wiring there.
Right.
I can't do that. So,
okay.
But anyway, it's not effective. And I found out that even Avis, in some of their rental cars, they'll put them underneath the front seats because it's not an offensive odor.
Oh,
but don't get a cheap brand sheets. You have to use, you know, I use Bounce and,
okay.
you know.
All right, perfect. That's perfect. That's perfect. Vicki, hope you're still listening, but Bounce dryer sheets seem to work really, really good mm-hmm. for my old friend Richard.
Yep.
And so, Richard, thank you very much. Greg, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yes, 210 Fusion, small crack on the bottom of my windshield from the bottom up, about an inch. If it migrates and gets bigger, I want to know the pros and cons of windshield replacement. I've heard horror stories.
And you're right. And here's what happens. We get the young kid who's on his third windshield. And first of all, you have to get the old windshield out. Then you have to prepare the surface. And then you use a glue or a caulk. Then you have to set the window in there perfectly. And then you have to watch it sit. And that you have to make sure that you have a good seal all the way around it. And typically, they don't always do what they're supposed to do. But let me tell you, no matter who you pick, I would call my insurance company and ask them what windshield company services their customers. The reason I do that is, you know, Farm Bureau and Geico and Liberty Mutual carry a lot of weight. So if they tell you to use, if they suggest you use this company and then you have a problem with the company, there's a good chance your insurance company is going to call that windshield company and say, listen, guys, and go on from there. So another thing is right after they get done with the windshield, I would let the car sit for at least a day. They may tell you a couple hours, but for me, a day is perfect. Second of all, as soon as it sat for a day, I'd get that garden hose out and I'd start spraying that windshield and from every direction, left, right, top, bottom. I just soak that car. And if it's good and you don't have any water inside, you're home free.
You see these ads, no charge, we'll pay $100 to replace the windshield, that type of thing.
Okay. Here's the deal. I'm going to buy that windshield and install it for $500. I know your insurance company, it's not very likely that they're going to pounce on me for $100. So I'm going to bump it up $100. I'm going to give you some of it or all of it. I'm still going to bill them for the $500. So that $100 to you is kind of in that whole thing. It goes back to the adage, you know, something for nothing is typically got a trick to it. Those kinds of people are not the kind of people I give to our customers. Now, do you remember the windshield company we use?
I can't think of it right now, but
What you can do is we are very happy with our insurance. Oh, and by the way, or our windshield company. By the way, the car has to be in a level position. you can't have the right front tire down in a ditch and the left rear tire down in a ditch. That's not going to work. So the car has to be on somewhat level ground and flat-footed. But if you'll call Andy, do you have a pen handy?
Yeah.
Okay, 480-598-1234. Call my daughter Andy and just say your dad told me to tell me what windshield company you use. Mm-hmm. And we're very happy with them. I'm just apologize that I don't know their names.
Yeah, I'll think of it an hour after we're off the radio. Okay.
Alrighty, Greg. Thank you. Oh, by the way, Greg, do you have full coverage?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the windshield company, but I would call your agent or call your company and ask them, and then second to Andy, and then you can make a decision from those two options. Thank you very much, Greg. Let's go to Sam. Sam, you're up next. How can I help you?
Oh, hi. I got wheel bearing issue. I've got a 95 Chevy Astrovan, and it's got 276,000 miles on it.
Okay.
You know the curve at Durango?
Uh-huh.
When you're going east and you come into that curve, the right, I get a howl or a growl out of that curve, and then I get nothing after that if I'm going straight. But okay, I don't get it when I'm turning the opposite way.
Okay, I got this. Are you turning left or are you turning right when you hear the noise?
Yeah, we're turning left.
Okay. When you're turning left, remember you got two wheel bearings in the front. Yes? You have an inner and an outer. Now, when you turn left at high speeds, I want to tell you something. I never get those symptoms from one of my customers. I never get those symptoms from people on the radio. So what you've done is given me something. I'm going to hit the nail on the head. So when you're turning left, we're going to load the outer bearing on the right front and the inner bearing on the left front. So if you take your wife out or your son or your neighbor and you do the Durango curve, you need to do it by driving and he sits in the passenger and then go do it again and switch places. And both of you put your left foot or both feet flat on the floor in front of you. I guarantee you that you'll be able to tell which side it's on. Now, you're going to go in and just replace both of the bearings because if one is bad, it's probably shedding some metal. So, and I'm not going to tell you, oh, you need to do the other one because this one died and the other one can't be far behind. Let me change the question. Hey, Mark, how often do you work on a car? And we process 20 cars a day, so 100 a week, 5,200 a year, something like that. How many times are you dealing with this wheel bearing thing? Maybe 3 or 4 times a year. So it's not that big of a deal. But you certainly, if you feel good about it, you certainly can put both sides on. But it's going to be in the front end, and it's going to be the right outer or the left inner. And if you take them apart, you'll be able to look at the bearing and see after you wash them with solvent.
And you'll replace the, if it's the right side, you'll replace the inner and the outer.
Yeah, I would. Yes, sir. Yes, okay. Sir. Yes, sir. Now, okay. You look at the races inside the hub as well. And if the races have any damage, when you replace the bearing, you're going to get the outer race. And so you have an inner race that sits on the axle on the outer race. So in your particular case, I would strongly suggest that you have somebody replace the outer race. And most shops know how to do that in a quick hurry. So you can say, okay, hey, here's the outer bearing, here's the inner bearing. Would you knock out the two races on my rotor? And then I'll put it back together myself. So if you have a
shop. When you retorque them to put the load on them, I just usually take a ratchet. I don't use a torque wrench, but maybe you should use a torque wrench and torque it to like 20 or 25 pounds and then back it off until the cotter pin fits in the next hole or
okay.
Is that how you do it?
Well, I don't use a torque wrench either. First of all, I tighten them down on a 1 to 10 scale. I put them at a 5. And then okay. I want to squeeze the grease out of the bearings. I want to metal the metal contact inside and out. So I'm going to tighten them down. By the way, I got the tire on there and I got it up off the ground. I spin the tire and then I back it off and I go back in a 4 and then I back it off and I go back in a 3 on a 1 to 10 scale. And then if I'm going to go to my castle and drop my cotter pin, I'm going to grab the top of the tire and the bottom of the tire, 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock, and I'm going to go in and out and I better not have any play.
Okay.
Now, that's how this old gray-haired guy do it. If you want to do a better job and be more precise, go to the internet, do wheel bearings Astrovan or wheel bearings set, and there's a lot of guys that will give you torque specifications and stuff like this. But us old gray-haired guys just got the feel. But I think I've described it good for you, okay?
It sounds good. All right. Thank you very much.
You betcha. Oh, boy. There's some things that you can... How'd you like that diagnosis? Just like that.
I hope that's what it is. No, I'm teasing.
I guarantee you that's what it is.
Just
anyway, Strictly Diesel Service and Repair is up at I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. They do light-duty foreign and domestic diesel trucks. They're located, like I said, I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. They sell parts 24 hours a day on their website, but they work on diesels, strictly diesels, as their name suggests, Monday through Friday. So they're really good at proper diagnosis because they have the diesel smell to them because they drive diesels and they're around diesels. So you need to deal with someone who's been there before. So anybody can change the oil in your diesel, but very few people are going to be able to manipulate the code to the actual repair. And just remember, code doesn't mean the repair. So if you're up in the north area, or if you just need your diesel dealt by experts, then Strictly Diesel Service and Repair is a good place to go. Do we have any other callers before we go?
No, we're open.
Okay, the lines are wide open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We have five lines. We have Gil working the board for us, and we're really happy to have Gil back. He just served 30 days in Sheriff Joe Arpaio's.
Oh, stop.
And,
He's teasing everybody.
I can't tell you what the violation was.
Mark.
But it's nothing that would upset you. Can I just go with
it? I'm protecting Gil. I want him back next week.
The show
is bad.
Yeah. The show is good because Gil keeps it that way. So he keeps us on our time track. He does a really good job in feeding us callers. We have a signal, so sometimes he'll do this in my headphone. And that means he wants to talk to me. And when he talks to me, he just talks to me, unlike a lot of other junior producers and board ops and technical people. They don't take the caller down, or they'll talk to me, but everybody hears it. So it's a matter of how well you're versed. And I think Monday through Friday, he picks up trash along I-17.
Oh, boy.
No, it
sometimes
does have
I
to.
Get an aluminum can, I get lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, he does work the highways and free. Isn't that right, Gil?
I do.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He's a traffic manager, and he does highway stuff.
Yeah,
so
I know. But
in order to do it right, he has to walk the freeway.
Oh,
and stuff like that.
Okay, whatever you say.
Whatever I say, that's exactly right. So 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And let me talk about another repair shop that's on my list. Action Auto Repair is at I-17 and Deer Valley. I've known Tom since the early 80s. Him and I have grown up together. Him and I have fished together. I know him well. He's exactly the kind of, if my daughters weren't married, he's exactly the kind of guy I would hope would date one of my daughters. He's a good, clean, but by the way, he's married too.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been around since 1983. He has a master tech on the BMW side. So if you're looking for an independent BMW shop, then Action Auto's a good guy. He has ASC master certified technicians that obviously are going to get your job done right. So that's Tom at Action Auto Repair, northwest corner, I-17 and Deer Valley. We'll be back for another hour of Under the Hood or Cars. Give us a call. Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting here is my wife, Renee. Her job is to just keep me in line.
Ooh, that's a hard job. I don't do very well, I can tell you that much.
And Gil does traffic for iHeartRadio.
Yes.
So he's a very important person. He's the one that hopefully will get you to work and back safely and on time.
But he
can't be responsible for men being late to work or women being late to work. It's not Gil's fault.
Okay.
All righty, let's go to the phones because we got a full board. Richard, you're up first. How can I help you?
This is the old man with the dryer sheets again. I have a problem. I have a 2013 Ford C-Max hybrid.
Okay.
It's got 14,000 miles on it.
Okay.
And it's having an electrical drain, and I had taken it, and it's under the extended warranty.
Okay.
So I took it over to the Ford dealer. and they had it for about a week, and they said it's $400 and some odd. They charged me for they said they found a butt connector attached to my rear brake light in the back window.
Okay.
I'm the original owner. I bought it off the floor, showroom floor at a Ford, a different Ford dealer in Colorado.
Okay.
And so I've never had anything, any aftermarket
okay.
done.
Okay. Okay. All right. Here's the deal. The deal is I can't second guess the $400 bill, but I can tell you what industry standards typically dictate for something like this. We have inductive amp probes. It's a device that wraps one of the cables on the battery, positive or negative. You want to wrap all the cables that come off one side of the battery or the other. You shut the door, and we already know the amp draw should be a quarter of one amp or, you know, a tenth of one amp. So we're watching this. If it's 3 amps or 10 amps, then we got a problem. We got a draw. So the next thing you do is you go into the fuse panel and you stop popping fuses one at a time. Well, you'll get to fuse 17 and you'll pop it and the amp draw goes away. So then you open up the owner's manual and you find out what the things are that are fed by that fuse. Then you put the fuse back in and you go back and start unplugging stuff. I'm not quite sure why the bill was $400. I'm just not quite sure. I think it's one of two things. It actually took $400. In labor rate, that's at least 3 hours. It could be four, depending on their labor rate. Or it could have been a young man who wasn't seasoned and struggled through your car. I don't know the answer, but if your battery hasn't been dead, then you won. I can't second guess him. I seriously don't know. If there was 11 things on that circuit, then it took a while before they isolated the circuit, but I doubt my 11 number's anywhere close to it. But anyway, Richard, good luck to you, and good luck with your C-Max. And at 14,000 miles, and the car is what? 6 years old with 14,000 miles. Richard, I want you to back off the driving just a little bit, okay? Give that car a little rest, okay? Hector, you're up next. Hector, how can I help you today?
Well, Hector dropped, so let's go to Tom.
Tom, we're going to go to Tom. Tom, how can we help you?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Back to that windshield question in insurance. In this day and age, deductibles have gone up, and if you have a claim, well, you can really get whacked on, with your insurance company for rates. And so sometimes it's much better to just call and get the windshield done yourself because you can get them, you know, the companies will quote you less than the insurance company does.
Well,
$300. By the time you do your deductible.
Okay. I deal with insurance companies every day, and I'm going to disagree with you as far as our rates are going to go up. We have 30 cars in our fleet, and we've had windshield problems, and we've had rodent problems on some equipment up here. But the idea is that if you have a lot of claims, and you have been a customer that's demanded a lot of attention, then that could be a rate increase for you. But the other day, I had this customer who had been a customer of this insurance company for 15 years, and it was kind of an iffy kind of thing, but it was a $10,000 iffy kind of thing. And I remember that the case agent, I said to her, da 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 da, because they call me for mechanical opinions. And she says, well, frankly, I want to pay this. And I said, well, it's a 50-50 shot. He's 50% right about what happened, 50% wrong. And I said, but it's your money, so go ahead. And she says, I'm looking at his history. He's got 15 years. He's had two claims in 15 years. This isn't the guy that's going to rip us off. So I'm sure they paid it. Now, as far as the two pricing structures, it doesn't make sense for us to discount it a whole bunch, because if the street rate is down in the $300 range, but the insurance rate is at the $600 range, I can assure you they know. They know who did that. The idea is our industry should not, and the majority of us do not, have two different structures with respect to insurance companies. I will tell you that we have two different price structures for aftermarket warranty companies and the customer. Customer pay is quite different than aftermarket warranty, because those aftermarket warranty companies will just drive us crazy, and they'll take time, and they'll they spend hours on the phone asking stupid questions. So we have to raise our rates in order to compensate for the certain 60 minutes worth of phone time over four or five different calls. So if people want to try that, I don't oppose that. If they want to try, hey, what's my price? And then turn around and say, well, I might report this to my insurance company. But keep in mind that the rock isn't the cause of, the driver didn't cause the rock. The driver didn't do anything wrong to cause the windshield to break, unless, of course, his wife hit it with a baseball bat. But the driver has to be at fault or has to show negligence. So I'm not always right, but I'm not always wrong.
It seems to me that sometimes you have zero deductible on glass replacement. I want to say that
we do.
Yeah, that we don't have to pay any deductible anyway.
How many windshields have we put in the 30 car? Now, we own a car rental company, and, and we have a rather large fleet of cars.
You know, I don't know. Just for us, I can think of our motorhome because we traveled a lot in it, so we had numerous ones
in
that.
But the motorhome windshield was like $2,000.
Oh, yeah.
And that was on a 2004 Eagle.
I know.
That was 14 years ago.
Right.
So the idea is most people don't experience that. But anyway, you bring up a couple of good points, and I guess the message here is yes, you can shop. Mm-hmm. And if you can find it cheaper, substantially cheaper, and you want to pay for it and you don't want to go through the claim process or you don't want to risk having your premium paid, then certainly that would be it. Jim, you're up next. Jim, how can I help you?
Yes, Mark, I have a question. I have a 2016 Chevy 2500 Silverado with the Duramax. I got it about 6 months ago with 39,000 miles on it. I replaced the batteries on it yesterday. But the question I have is, I noticed that the voltmeter takes a while for it to reach 14. It takes about 2 miles because the needle will just stay down between 10 and 11 and a gradual creep up to 14. Is that supposed to do that?
It's not supposed to be at 10 or 11.
That's when it starts out in the morning when it first started up. The needle does not move.
Okay. Well, I think what we need to do is go to the battery and do the checking at the battery. I would do that. This is what I want you to do, Jim. In the morning, pop the hood and just, I don't care which battery you do, just go positive to negative, get a little digital voltmeter from, what's in that place that we buy?
Harbor Freight. Okay.
and stick the terminals on the battery. Now, a fully charged battery is going to be close to 13 volts. So if it's 12-10, that means it's about 10% charged. So we want to see the battery north of 12.5 with the key in your pocket. Now, when you start the car up and you get a fast idle on your diesel, if it's cold, then you're going to see that needle go probably up to 13.5 or 14.5. But I want to go one over what we call static voltage. So if you find it at 12.4, I want to see 13.4 within 60 seconds. And if you have to rev the motor, then it's okay. I don't know that I trust the gauge, and I don't know that how long it takes that signal to get there, but I also know that if it's at 14 volts, everything's fine. And as long as the batteries aren't going dead on a regular basis or you're not having any other electrical problems, I'm not quite sure I'd spend a lot of money. But I think you should just take the voltage at the battery. I think that'll give you a clearer picture of what you're up against. Okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. You're more than welcome. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960.
Mark?
Yes, sir?
Hector called back. We have him.
Okay, let me do this spot, and then Hector, you stay right there. I know, you know, Hector was on the phone. His wife told him to get off the phone and go empty the trash. You got to know that's what happened.
If you don't hurry up, he'll probably have to go again.
Automotive Dynamics is Sun City's largest and most trusted source for complete automotive services. Chuck started it. Derek runs it. 1982, Chuck is when he started. So when they're on their second generation and they provide high quality service, Derek's the kind of guy you can trust. You can look at him and shake his hand and you know automatically he's the kind of guy you can trust. So if you're looking for a great shop in Sun City, I would recommend you stop by Auto Dynamics on the north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. Excuse my stumble there.
Yeah.
All righty. Let's go to Hector. Hector, does she know you're on the phone? Hector?
How you doing?
Hey, good, good. I thought I lost you there. I thought your wife was whipping on you or something.
Actually, she didn't tell me to get my foot out here and get the Christmas decorations down, so that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
Yeah, but I actually had two quick questions, if that's okay.
Yes.
I'm, after welding on some camera plates, I found out I have a surface rust on my car. And from there, I literally tore out everything for the vehicle. I'm trying to get rid of rust, but there's certain parts of it where I found there's pocket holes that looks like it's factory made that I can't reach the rust in there. I was wondering, should I cut it open, or is there ways to get the rust out of there by any chance?
Yeah, I'm not your guy. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm not your guy. What's the name? I know his name is Kyle, and he's down there on Chandler Boulevard and Chandler and Priest.
Right. It used to be Envision, but I think it's Auto Body.
It's one of it might be Envision, but Auto Body owns it. But Kyle on Envision, and it's EI. Envision is it, or is it I?
I.
Okay. Envision starting with an I. He's down there in Chandler. And I think you could talk to him. I know he knows what he's talking about. And he's someone we've leaned on quite a bit. Now, his father is named Chuck, and he's a second-generation body shop guy. And he does have a position of authority, but he's probably going to want you to take some pictures with your camera phone and send them to him, because that would certainly be the best. I want to tell you something, Hector. I couldn't fix a body shop car for love nor money. I don't know how to use a frame rack. I don't know how to spray paint. I don't know how to do rust. I don't know how to do any of that. So I need to send you to somebody who lives that life and talk to Kyle when you call down there. It's either going to be called Envision Auto Body, or it's going to be Auto Body World Auto Body.
Or I think it might be Auto Nation now that I said that.
Right. Okay,
be. I think it was Auto Nation.
But anyway,
it might still be listed under Envision. I'll see if I can find it while we're at the break.
Okay, and that'd be good. 602-508-0960. We have open lines available. Thank you for calling back, Hector, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 19 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and we looked up a couple of things for you. And did you find Kyle yet?
I'm making sure this is the right one,
because
it's different than what we knew.
Right. I'm going to go to a windshield company. Mm-hmm. First Choice Auto Glass is the company that does all of our clients' windshields, all of our customers' windshields, and all of our personal windshields. First Choice Glass.
Mm-hmm.
First Choice
Glass. They used
glass.
To be in Mesa, but now they're out in Apache Junction.
But they do all over the valley.
Yes.
They do all over the valley. And they come to us, and they fix the windshield in the parking lot, and we've made arrangements for that car to sit there for 24 hours or whatever, twice the number they tell us.
Yep.
And so First Choice Auto Glass is the one, and I think the windshield person, I'm looking real quick here, and that was Greg. Greg commented on that, and I don't know who brought that up before. But Greg did comment on it, and it's okay, because one way or another we'll do our best. We're looking up Kyle's number for Hector.
I think it's 480.
480.
949-9292.
Okay, give it to us again one more time.
480-949-9292, and I would ask for Kyle.
Okay. And I was wrong. Tom was the one that brought up the windshield talk afterwards, but in reality, we had a windshield question way back for Greg. So Greg and Tom were the two windshield people. All righty, let's go to the phones real quick. Robert, you're up first. How can I help you?
Good morning. And I first want to say I enjoy your program.
Thank you very much.
I have a couple of simple questions here.
Okay.
I have a 2013 Tacoma with 35,000 on it.
Okay.
And the shop recommends the change the plugs out at 33,000. The truck runs beautifully.
Okay.
And my question is there a norm there at 33,000 does it warrant a change of plugs?
No, I like the fact that you don't have a miss and you're using that. Here's what I want you to do, okay?
Okay.
This is what happens. This is for women too. So your shop says that you need spark plugs, and you say, oh gosh darn it, I didn't know that. Let me go get my owner's manual, and would you show me where it says that I should do plugs at 35? And when
it does
do that.
It does say it.
Okay.
33,000.
Okay, fair enough. But 99, you're the first person I've ever heard saying that. Yeah. But 99% of the time, the number isn't right at all. So we teach ladies that that's the easiest way out. Okay, if you don't have a miss at 33 and it's a 2013, it doesn't have the brand new platinum plugs in it more than likely because those are going to be 80 to 100K. So you've probably just got a standard resistor plug in there. You got two choices. Yeah. Wait till you got some kind of fuel economy drop or a cold miss or a warm miss, or you can go ahead and have them. Now, I would ask for the old spark plugs back, and if the old spark plugs are clean and pristine and have a kind of a T-looking, a light brown color to them, and the center electrode still has a square in it, so it's tabletop and then drop down and it's not rounded, then you went too early and you'll know that next time. That's how I would handle it.
That's right. Can you tell me a quality product, plug?
You know, I sell a whole lot of Champion and NGK. I don't know the answer to that. I know I'm personally a Champion fan, and I also use a lot of NGKs. But I also have some off-road vehicles that I use the NGKs on. Let me tell you who to call. Have you got a pencil handy?
Yes.
Okay. 480-598-1234 and ask for Jeff in parts. And don't take a bunch of his time, but Mark said you can answer this question. What's the predominant plug you guys sell? And you might even have him look it up on your 2013 Tacoma because that'll make a difference. So just say, I'm going to take as little time as I can because Jeff's kind of a busy guy. He's responsible for 20 bays. So, but I'm going to let you do that because I don't know the answer to that. Okay?
Name's Jeff, huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And again, good program.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Ken, where am I at? Am I way over my break?
No, you're right.
Okay. Ken, you're next.
I've got a 2016 diesel Dodge truck, and I drive from Phoenix to Colorado all the time. I was driving, I was in Bluff, Colorado, and on the dashboard, a prompt came on saying, the DEF system needs service.
Okay.
And then it went off, and then it came back on. And I read in my owner's manual that if you don't take it into service quickly, a counter goes on, and it counts down from 120 miles to zero. And when you get to 0 miles, the truck will only go 5 miles an hour.
Okay.
And for me, that's just super dangerous and just unacceptable. And is there anything you can do about that?
I hope so.
Have you got a pencil handy?
Yeah.
Okay. 480. What are you shaking your head for?
Nothing. I'm just
480-598-1234. Talk to Alan. Ask for Alan.
Okay.
Alan owns Salem Performance Division that does nothing but diesels. Mark drives a diesel. Not too long ago, there was a guy at the car wash, and we were talking about diesels. And I have the 6.7 that you have, but mine's a 12, which means I don't have DEF. So, and Alan's is a 9, and he'll outrun mine, and that still pisses me off.
Hey.
But anyway, so you're going to call Alan and ask him that question. Not too long ago, I had the same situation, and I called Alan. I was talking to a guy I've never met before, and Alan started laughing, and his answer was funny. So he's been through this. He can walk you through it. And you can, and I think the real nuts and bolts of what you're asking is do I need to be worried about what's going to happen? Here's what surprises me. The DEF system typically raises a flag when the truck is in city driving and you just got through saying that you were on the highway when this happened.
Right.
So I'm a little confused, but I think you'll notice that it was probably a stopping point on your odometer. Did you happen to look at your 30 or your 60 or your 90?
No, I didn't, but I just can't imagine that the system's set up that way, because if I'm driving a Colorado at night and all of a sudden I get in that situation, there's no way I can take it to a dealer. There's no dealer between Flagstaff and Denver.
All right, and I've never heard of anybody getting stuck except one guy, and he had a Ford. Okay, so I've never heard of a Dodge getting stuck. I think that that's a time frame turn on. I think we're turning on that light.
Okay.
Let me tell you what Fords plug the exhaust up and you're down to 25 miles an hour. you have very little notice. But the whole idea is we need to clean out the catalytic converter, the particulate filter, and we need to drive it on the highway in order to do that. So I'm kind of confused, but I promise you, Alan can answer your question. He can also guide you. But don't get upset until you talk to him. Now, I could be wrong, and he may tell you, you got a 120-mile spread. I don't think he's going to tell you that. So you call him and ask him.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. And let's go to Bert. Bert, you're up next. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. My wife has a 2004 Hyundai Sonata.
Okay.
With about 69,000 miles on it.
Okay.
And she loves the car, never had a problem with it. And now they say I need motor mounts for the car.
Okay.
I have two questions. What happens if I don't get it fixed right away? And the second question is about approximately how much should I pay for that?
Okay. First of all, let me ask you a question. On takeoff, on rapid takeoff, have you ever noticed a delay clunk or thump?
No.
Okay. Second of all, I want you to go out into her car. I want you to have her sit in the car because she drives it. I want you to say to her, I want you to close your eyes and I want you in the passenger seat and I want her foot on the brake. And now you want you to close your eyes and hold on to the steering wheel, honey. Make sure you use the word honey. And so the car is idling and I want you to shift it from neutral. I want you to start neutral. And I want you to shift it to reverse and say, do you feel anything? Vibration, honey. We're looking for vibration. So do you feel anything in reverse, honey? And her foot's on the brake and you're just idling. Then you're going to go to neutral and say, do you feel anything different, honey? And then you're going to go to drive and ask her the same question. Reverse, neutral, drive. If there is no vibration, I don't know, other than that symptom and a hard clunk, I don't know of a reason to change the motor mounts, but I want to tell you this. It's very lucrative when we get to do all your motor mounts. It's very lucrative. So, and then another thing, and I'm up against time frame right now, so I'm going to ask you to stay there. And, Chris, you stay there, and I'll get to both of you. And we have open line, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We've got two gone right now, or we got three available, so you're welcome to jump in there. 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 32 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and we're going to do what we said. We're going to go after Bert and Chris real quick. Bert, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Here's what I want you to do, too. I want you to take the car out into the street because we're going to do something. I don't want you to lose control of the car and hit your garage and drive it into the living room, okay? You're going to take the car out into the street, and you're going to open up the hood, and you're going to look through the hood crack at the motor. And you're going to sit there and you're going to put it in drive. You're going to hold your left foot on there. And I want you to stomp on the accelerator as if a slow motion crushing a spider. Okay? And I want you to watch the motor. And I also want you to listen for a thump. We're in drive. So you're going to go whoppa. And your foot's on the brake, and we're in drive.
Okay.
Now, if the back motor mount, which is the predominant motor mount that goes bad, if the back motor mount's broken, the motor's going to lift up, and then as soon as you let go of the throttle, it's going to come down. You're going to see it, and you're going to feel it. If it thumps, then we need at least one motor mount. Then you're going to put it in. We did that in reverse, and then you're going to go to drive, and we're going to do the same thing. I want the motor to flex a little bit, but I don't want it to raise up and flop down. So we're testing two of your four mounts. But I want to tell you something. Here, do this next time. You know, I need you to show me why. So whoever's – bring that technician out here and have him point out what he – now, if he walks out there and says, here's your upper T-bone, and you looked at the rubbers just disintegrating, and this is a mount that I need to do, and I'd really like to do all of them. And you go, 35,000 miles, all of them. Why don't we just do one? So that's the kind of conversation that you're going to have. Show me. There is our industry prides ourselves in, come on back in the shop, Bert. We're going to put it up on the rack. We're going to have somebody in the car, and I want you to watch these two rear motor mounts. You're going to see them flex, and you're going to see that they're both broken. So, Bert, take a look at this. That shouldn't be there. Let me show you on this other car over here. It's not exactly the same as your Sonata, but it's got big pillow, what we call pillow motor mounts. Let me show you those, how they flex. Ooh, they didn't move. That's what I need you to do. But I'm going to tell you something. The last question you didn't ask was, is Mark, what's the possibility of me breaking down and needing a tow truck because my motor mounts are broken? The answer is never. Okay? So don't let fear take over, okay?
Okay, and the approximate cost for this?
I'm scared to tell you that, but I'm thinking we're going to be, I would say $500 to $700, and I'm guessing. That's a wild guess. How close did I come?
Would that be for the four?
That's for the four motor mounts installed. I'm going to move it to eight. I'm going to go between
five and eight.
How close did I come?
Well, thank you so much for your help.
Okay.
I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Bert. Chris, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark. 05 Murano, 88,000 miles. No problems with anything. My gas mileage is the same, and I'm going to do plugs and wires, but I'm thinking, why not wait till closer to 100,000?
I'm with you.
Since I have no problems. Okay. Next question. Parked 95 pickup truck, put 500 miles a year on it. Do I leave the tank full even though I'll never burn a whole tank of gas in 6 months?
I would leave the tank full, and I would go down to the local Walmart or whatever, and I'd get a bottle of Stabil, S-T-A-B-I-L. Okay. Gotcha. Follow the directions, put it in there. That's what I do on all my gasoline-powered stuff up at the ranch, all my generators. I put Stabil in them during the 6 months I'm not going to use them. Let me go back to your 88,000. If you're going to put plugs and wires in it, I want you to buy a tube of dielectric grease.
Okay.
It's a white toothpaste looking stuff. Okay.
Gotcha.
So you're going to put it in the boot and put the boot on. And then on the other end, if you have a distributor, you're going to do that. But if the coil sits on top of the spark plug, you can just put a fine thing on that little wire that's about an inch long.
Yeah, so, unfortunately, I think on the Murano, there's a plastic cover, but I think the plugs are inside of the top of the manifold.
Yes.
I was told it's like a $600 changeover for the plugs.
Okay. Well, you'll find out soon enough. It is possible that we're going to have a tough time on the back two plugs or something like that. And sometimes we have to take a motor mount out, or we have to lift up the back of the transmission. Your Sonata should be front wheel drive, right?
No, it's a Murano.
Oh, Murano. Okay. Is it front wheel drive or rear wheel drive?
All wheel.
Okay. All wheel. Okay. There are times that the spark plugs are really difficult to get, but, you know, if you have a spark plug that's, you know, 1.2 hours, there's a lot of guys out there that are going to be able to pull that off a lot less. The question is the boss going to bill you actual time or book time? And I would suspect that most of us would draw the middle out of that.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Last question.
Go.
What do you think of the $32 bump in tag prices? Isn't that a bunch of shenanigans?
Well, I don't like the idea that it's a 30, and I'm going to get hit hard on that.
10 would be fine, right?
But I don't like the explanation about the money. I don't trust the government to do what it says. I don't trust the governor to do what he says. In this particular situation and many others, not all the time though, it's oftentimes the money goes someplace else and redirected. It's kind of like the teacher's pay and some of that other stuff.
Right.
So I'm not real happy about it. I think it's just another tax, and I think as we just go along, it gets to the point where we just stop fighting because it's tax after tax after tax. Like that one lady said the other day on the news, and I don't even want to get into this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. She said that she thinks all the high earners should pay 70% in taxes. 70,
yeah. Well, and, she's 27. She knows everything.
Yeah, she's got the brain God gave a duck. But anyway, thank you very much. I got to go. You're getting me in trouble. John, you're up next, buddy. John, are you there? John, are you there?
He's there. He's just listening.
John, you got to turn the radio down, because if you turn the radio down, we can talk. But we're on a delay in case Mark says bad words or my wife starts cussing me out. Are you there?
Okay. Hey, Mark.
Okay.
Yeah. I got two questions for you. First one is, I got a 2012 Chevy Silverado, and I brought it in.
Okay, I need you to get off Bluetooth and get the phone right up close to you, because we're losing you. But be quick about it. Go ahead. 12 Silverado.
Okay. anyway, make a long story short, I had it tuned up, the sparkled wires and plugs, and I was going about 80 miles an hour down the freeway, and I heard a popping sound a couple times, like it was missing. It hasn't done it since, but it did it a couple of times after I had that tuned up. That's how I should bring it back to the place, tuned it up, and have them do something else to it, or?
No. There's two things you do. You can go back and say, come and take a ride and let's hope I do it, or you continue on as long as it idles good, as long as it doesn't. If the problem is there all the time, take it back. But if the problem is intermittent, then the real question is are there times when it idles good, or does it idle almost good all the time, or does it go 50, 60 miles an hour all the time? But you need to learn how to make it happen. But if it's there all the time, then yes, you go back to the shop. So you had another question.
Okay. Yeah, the other one's just your opinion. I've got a 2006 Chevy Express van, six cylinder, with 201,000 miles on it. And it leaks oil profusely now, and check engine light and everything's on it. But it runs great, other than it leaks a hell of a lot of oil and the check engine light's on. Would it be worth it for me to get the engine rebuilt?
No, I go after the oil leak. First of all, the check engine light, I'm unclear how that has anything to do with the oil, because if it's got a check engine light and it's oil related, it'd be probably the first one I've ever seen. But you need to go get an estimate on the repair. If it's an oil pressure switch, you're going to get out of there for less than $100. So I think we need, before you can make the decision on what to do, and I don't think you replace an engine just because it's leaking oil. I think it's real easy and real simple to go in there and identify the oil leak and then bid the oil leak. But the best case scenario is an oil pressure switch. The risk case scenario is it's the rear main seal or the front harmonic balancer seal. But even in that respect, you're not talking about big money. You're talking about north of 500 and certainly less than 1,000. So I'm just saying we need to find out where the oil's coming from, and we need to deal with the check engine light. If they're related, okay. If they're unrelated, we have two different problems. I got to take a break, and when I come back, I got Harry and John number two. We'll be back right after this. Okay, everybody, 43 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We got time to get the callers, but I need to fit this in. Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing is the only place in Mesa that I stamp is Mark Salem approved. Brian and Thelma are the salt of the earth. Brian and Thelma are exactly the kind of neighbors you want to have. They're honest. They're dependable. They know the business. They come from two families that have been in Mesa working on cars since the 50s. So they're on Main Street just east of Stapley, the south side of the road. It's a little difficult to get in there with that fancy train that runs up and down. But the idea is that they really do a good job. They'll follow up with friendly reminders on what you might be. They're not going to say you're due. They're saying check your manual. But they're a good shop. Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing on Main Street, just east of Stapley on the south side of the road. Harry, you're up next.
Thank you, Mark. A happy new year to you and your family.
Thank you very much, Harry.
I was listening with keen interest to your one caller talking about damage from rodents to wiring. And I remember reading something a while back, and I got online and Googled that, and they went to Consumer Reports, was one of the deals, but they were talking about a tape that it's kind of like a black vinyl tape that Honda makes, or you can get it through Honda, or even on the internet, that has this...
It's got a bad taste to it.
Yeah, it's called a capsaicin, and it's kind of an analgesic type stuff. It has real hot mm-hmm. pepper quality, and yeah. Evidently it's in this tape, mm-hmm. and you can wrap it on your wiring. It's supposed to take care of the issues with it.
Yeah,
kind of interesting that Honda has a class action suit against them for. 2013 to 2016 Hondas, and there was a bunch of people that had written in and talked about their vehicles being damaged by it, and it wasn't covered under warranty either.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Wonder if that's why Honda came out with the tape.
Well, but, that certainly could be a stopgap measure. The wiring, they love the exterior of certain wiring.
It's soy-based.
Yeah.
Soy-based wire.
There you go. Yeah. But here's the problem. The problem is, if you look underneath the hood of your truck, Harry, if you hired me to wrap all your wiring, you're going to get a huge bill. And so it's easier to do, to go on the defense rather than that and wrap all your harnesses. Now, if like me, if you have the same place they chewing on your wiring, then yes, I would use the tape. But other than that, Harry, it's, the only other thing is sit outside, drink a couple beers, get your pellet gun and wait for the little son of a guns to show up.
Well, I have a place up Munn's Park and, I'm up there about 6 months out of the year, and I have a Honda, and and it's within that range of vehicles they were talking about. So it kind of made me kind of wonder, and I've seen squirrels running around. And, but I don't think they would like it if I started popping the squirrels in the area.
Well, just put a silencer on your BB gun, and you'll be fine. Anyway, I got to run, Harry, but thank you very much. John, you're up next. What you got?
Happy New Year from a fellow gray hair, Mark.
Well, thank you very much. Same to you.
I've been listening to you since you shared the show with Rosie, but I think this is the first time I've talked to you.
Well, that's okay with me.
I'm the original owner of a 1984 Toyota four-wheel drive pickup that has an intermittent starting problem that it used to occur more frequently, but hadn't happened for years until a couple of nights ago.
Okay.
On that evening, I ran two errands, which meant that I started the truck four times with no problem.
Okay.
Later, I tried to run a third errand, but the truck wouldn't start.
Okay, and I need to ask you something.
Sure.
Is there no noise when you hit the key? That's A. Or there's a
no
click.
Noise.
Wait just a minute. I got to give you the menu.
Okay.
No noise. Click is the second one. Cranks over fine, but doesn't catch. So which one of those? You got no noise at all?
Completely silent.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, how many miles are on this?
Just turned over 391,000.
Oh, boy.
Gee, Merry Christmas. But that's the old Toyotas. That's the old Toyotas, and I'm not surprised at that at all. I want you to go to marksalem.com and click on FAQs and then print out FAQ 28. I'm going to guess right now that in the absence of noise, we're sending the signal through the neutral safety switch, and I hope that's okay, but it seems to be okay because it does start other times, but the power goes from the ignition key through the neutral safety switch, and it goes to the solenoid. Once the solenoid is triggered, it's supposed to apply the solenoid. That throws the starter drive out of the starter, and we're done. Now, if the solenoid is bad, we usually don't get any noise like you're saying, but you wouldn't dare go in there and just replace the solenoid. You do the starter solenoid as a package. Now, number two, we got a click. That could be that the solenoid's working, but we got a bad battery connection. It could also be that we have a starter problem. So the click is the hard one. But if it drags the starter, then that's a little easier. That's either a battery, a bad connection, or the starter. The diagnostic process on this is pretty simple. But if I had to bet and you can't get it to happen on a regular basis and you're scared to death of this, then I would go down to my favorite repair shop and ask them just to replace the starter and solenoid.
Let me tell you why I think it might be the ignition switch.
Okay.
In the past, when this happened, and like I said, it hasn't happened for years, but in the past, when it happened, I would just sit there and keep turning the key on and off, on and off, on and off. And eventually it would start.
Okay, that's not good enough. Every other time you hit it, it's fine. And if the ignition key or the ignition lock or the ignition switch is bad, oftentimes it'll die. You'll lose your radio. You'll lose your accessories. You don't have the rest of the symptoms.
Right.
Now, really and truly, if I had your truck, I just put a long lead off of the solenoid trigger, and I'd go out there every once in a while. I'd let it run. You'd go out there every once in a while and check what the voltage is to the solenoid when I hit the key. Now, this could be a bad battery connection, but I don't think so. You're missing one of those symptoms as well. So I think most good shops can probably test the lot. We need at least 10 volts to that solenoid to make it happen. So if you hit the key, or if I hit the key and I've got a digital voltometer on there and I've got 10 or 11 volts and nothing's happening, then I know I got a solenoid problem. I just don't want to do the solenoid in the starter.
Your
old starter.
Right.
So that's what I would do. Now, if you print FAQ 28 out, it will tell you how to pull up against some barrier like a wall. And turn on your headlights before anything and watch the headlight intensity and hit the key. And the FAQ 28 will describe what the different headlight intensities will tell you what's wrong. For instance, if the headlights go out and come back on, that's usually a bad battery connection. If it goes out and comes back on really quick instead of slow, then that means the starter. If the headlights don't change intensity, then it's probably in the neutral safety switch or the solenoid. And I want to tell you, I replace 1,000 solenoids to every one ignition switch. So the odds are that way. But anyway, John, thank you very much for your compliment. I got to move on because I got Patty, and Patty's been waiting a long time. So, Patty, how can I help you?
Well, I want to start out with a compliment for Blackwell's.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I have a Nissan Pathfinder, and for probably 7 years, we have had problems with the check engine light soon. Coming on. Okay. We have had two different car shops looking at it, and they haven't been able to figure out what was going on. Took it to Blackwell. They said that there were some lines that were connected to dead end. They reconnected everything, and I have not had a check engine light for 6 months.
Now raise your right hand and tell me that you're not Tom's sister.
I
okay.
And he pays you to call.
I need your right hand up in the air, and I say, repeat after me. I promise. I am not related to that scoundrel Tom Blackwell.
I am not related to that scoundrel Tom.
Okay. All right. I've known Tom. You just shut up over there.
Yep.
We are brothers of different mothers, and we know right from wrong. Sometimes we get in trouble for putting our hand up. I don't know if you've met Tom, but I want to tell you he's one of the finest technicians I know.
We work with Christy.
I work with Christy. I have worked with Christy. When Tom and I, you know, I call him, and if I can't get him, and if he's in the bathroom, which he usually is, then Christy will help answer the question or slide the phone underneath the door. And all of this is not true. I'm just making fun of him. But no, Tom's a go-to guy. He does everything from oil changes all the way to engine swaps and all that kind of stuff. But like I said, I've known him for a very long time. We built our buildings together 25 years ago. And as a matter of fact, if you look at his building and if you look at my building, they're twin sisters of different mothers. So he's got gray block with red highlights and Adobe, and so do we. So I can tell you, though, with pride, I was first.
That's right. He copied us. Tell him we said that.
Yeah. And anyway, he just recently married. I don't remember her name. And she is a little stronger willed than he is. And that's a good thing. So I forget what. Polly. Mm-hmm. Polly. Right. So anyway, if you get there and you talk to Christy or Polly, I can assure you, you're talking to somebody that's got a little bit of swag in that business. So thank you very, very much for that, Patty. Thank you. Antonio, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hi there. Great show, by the way.
Thank you.
Quick question. I got a Ford 150 2018 that I just got. Like 2,000 miles on it.
Okay.
And it's got a new feature that is annoying the bejesus out of me.
Okay.
And that is that whenever you pull over to a stop sign, to a stop light, it shuts off.
Yeah, that's annoying to me too.
And it's got a button that allows me that if I don't like that feature, I can press that button. But every time I get in the car and I'm in a hurry, I don't get a chance to think about it. And every time I need to step on the accelerator to get going, you know,
yes,
it starts off and it's always on the wrong time. Is there a way that I can take it to a shop and they can, you know, through a scan tool, a factory scan tool or something, deprogram that function so it is no longer enabled?
Probably not on the programming side. Probably not on the programming side. But I promise you, if you get on the internet, you'll find somebody that's got a fix. Now, here's the deal. The computer sees speed, and it watches your throttle, and it watches your brake. So the computer knows when you come to a stop. It sees the speed declining. It sees you take your foot off the gas, and it sees you apply the brake. Now,
yes.
I want to tell you something. I think that it's possible with the appropriate wiring diagram that you could find where the computer sees the brake switch, which starts the process. And I don't know, and I'm guessing, but that might be a wire I would disable once, and if, and if it, if the brake pedal was the wake up point, hey, wake up, he's coming to a stop. Well, if I take that away from the computer, then maybe it won't do that. But the default button basically says you got to reset it every time. I'm quite sure a guy that's real well versed in wiring and had a wiring diagram of that probably could overcome it. We have to lie to the computer. We have to lie to the computer. So maybe we put some kind of gyro in there that says that the car is still doing 2 miles an hour. I don't know.
Or maybe throw high that wire that says that I'm still moving. Because it even senses, for example, when the AC, I'm in Arizona and, you know, it's in the summer, if the AC is on, it doesn't turn it off because obviously it needs the engine to keep the compressor running.
Yeah.
Right now in the winter, I'm freezing, you know, there's penguins coming out of my cockpit just to keep that thing from triggering.
Okay, wait,
obviously,
wait.
There's a switch.
Wait. So what we do if the air conditioning triggers it and keeps the motor running, we just have to find that leg and put it on a toggle switch, and then your toggle switch has summer and winter. And you can energize that circuit without going to the air compressor, and all you have to do is energize the circuit. So we come off the cigarette lighter, we go through a toggle switch, and we grab a hold of that lead. And so at that particular point, it thinks, oh, the air conditioning's on, and boom, we're done. This is what happens on a computer, but you're still under warranty, and if I were you, I wouldn't mess with this right now. I'd wait till later, okay? I think the risk is too big. I think the risk is certainly 50% or more. You're going to get in trouble. Something's going to happen bad. So I think you wait till you're out of warranty. And other than that, just, you know what you could do? You could disconnect the air conditioning compressor and try it that way. So you can still turn the air on, but the compressor's not going to work. So therefore, you're not going to get cold in the winter. So just pull the plug on the air conditioning compressor and see if I'm right. Okay? All right. I got to run. And if you want to do something for me, this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray for somebody. Their name starts with an L. And if you just talk to God and say, please take good care of her and please watch over her and comfort her, that would be something you could do for me. I'll see you next week.